This is the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are delighted and honored to have Jerry Adams with us. I need a couple of definitional things before we go forward. I did find myself being confused as to what was a nationalist and what was a Republican in Ireland. And then I need you to help me with why this isn't just about religion.
Well, a Republican is someone who wants to see a republic. Ireland is 32 counties. We are partitioned. The British have control at this time of six counties. So a nationalist would be someone, generally speaking, who would want to see an end to British rule in the island and Irish independence. A Republican would be someone who would want to see a particular form of government or society to come into being in the aftermath of British involvement in Ireland. And I forget the third point.
I was surprised, genuinely surprised, that this didn't seem to be about religion, that the troubles...
Yeah. Well, it is about sectarianism.
That's different?
Yeah, because it isn't about theology, it isn't about the Pope. All of the churches in Ireland, historically, have been Christian. There has been a small... Jewish community, and now as Ireland moves on into more multicultural times, there obviously are other ethnic and religious welcome diversities on the island. So what's sectarianism about? It's the same as racism. Where did it come from? In most colonial situations, the old adage of divide and conquer is higher empires were built. In some situations, people were divided on the basis of their skin colour, their race. But I think universally, in terms of their gender, we've had that more recent focus on that. But in the Irish situation, just because historically the majority of people in the island of Ireland were Catholic, the British, the English as it was, for the first time used a method of plantation, which was later to be used elsewhere. They dispossessed the native indigenous people and gave the land to soldiers and others who were due some reward or some bounty. And they put them in charge and give them these possessions in return for their loyalty. Now, the first plantations, the historians tell us that the planters became more Irish than the Irish themselves. They intermarried, they got on well. So the English then looked for something which would differentiate the planter class from the indigenous people. So had it been colour, it would have been quite easy to understand. What they brought in was people who were mostly of Protestant extraction. And
that was a very important distinction, yeah, yeah. 300 years ago. As
absolutely,
the
but I think now, I mean, because Adams isn't actually a Gaelic chieftain's name, you know, Adams is obviously a planter's name, same as Paisley. So obviously, the island of Ireland should belong to the people who live there, and you know, there is no issue of indigenous people or others, and the plantations are long gone. But the issue of sectarianism remains because for a period it was a disadvantage to be a Catholic, and you were discriminated against on that basis. And there was the perception of privilege, or at some levels a real privilege, to be a Protestant. And the Protestants were kept united around, and this is age old, it's not a strange phenomenon here in the south of the United States of America. The Protestants were kept together on the basis that if the Catholics got their way, they would take over their jobs and their houses and would run riot and would bring them down and so on. And it's all a nonsense. I mean, there are so many contradictions. For example, the founders of Irish republicanism were Protestants, Presbyterians to a man and a woman. The term Fenian, which is generally a term of, I suppose, of insult in the mouths of extreme unionists, really subscribes to an American phenomenon of people forced to come here. And some of them came at the time of the famine, and some of them came before that. And a lot of what would be called the Scots-Irish, who came in the first run here, were mostly from the Presbyterian background. And at the time of the United Irishmen in 1798, you had this beautiful alliance of Catholic Protestants and dissenters, which was the bedrock and remains the broad founding principles of both Irish republicanism, influenced by the American Revolution, and influenced by the French Revolution. So any argument about it being about, you know, religion, and it's a matter of frustration that journalists use as a shorthand the terms Catholic and Protestant, when it has nothing at all to do with whether people are Catholics or Protestants.
There is a notion afoot that a lot, one way to solve the challenges that the world has faced is economic development. And Ireland has undergone in the last decade, two decades, a dramatic improvement in its economic status. It's particularly since it's been a member of the EU. Has that tremendous economic change in the South had a positive effect, a negative effect, no effect? How has it affected what's going on, particularly in the north of the country?
Well, it's had a positive effect. It's interesting, and on its own, it's a separate issue, that one of the effects has been that the gap between rich and poor has widened. That while Ireland is much more wealthy, and I use the term island to describe all of the island of Ireland, but the people at the lower end of the ladder have actually become worse off, even though we should all celebrate the fact that the country is much more wealthy and people do have a better way of life. And that has had a positive effect because, of course, the unionists used to say that they didn't want to be part of a united Ireland because the South was impoverished and poor and deprived. Now the South is more prosperous than the North. And in fact, the first element within unionism which were prepared to sign on for a new dispensation were, understandably enough, the business classes, because they could see immediately that there was a benefit to be made. Secondly, the island of Ireland is very small. The population is only 5 million. You could lose it in Atlanta or in many of the other big cities of this part of the world. To have a duplication of services, to have two separate, you know, health services, road systems, industries, you know, the range of duplication is through every aspect of economic life, and the economists quite rightly and the business people quite rightly say we need to treat Ireland as a single island economy. On to the European Union, that becomes even more of a case. So here you have the business people, the capitalists, the big banks, the financiers telling the unionists, you know, really we need to have a single island to have economic prosperity. So it's all been positive and it's all been the good, and that lesson hasn't been lost upon the unionists.
One of the things that I found surprising was how much time you spent, in intense negotiations with the government of Ireland. Hmm. My assumption, you know, again, not knowing anything, would have been that they were, you know, at the very least, your closet allies, and if not, and the same thing really with the church. I would have expected that the Irish government and the Catholic Church would have been four square behind you, at least in private, and I would have expected in public. And that didn't, and I'm not sure still, if it didn't seem to be the case.
Well, the reality is that the partition of Ireland brought about two conservative states on the island of Ireland. One was the one which most people know about, which is the North, because of the conflict. But equally in the South, there was a conservative state. And, you know, after a while, and for good reasons now, you know, I don't want to be too condemnatory, but, you know, they were busy trying to shape out issues. It was very, very dark, black economic climate for a long time. Emigration was huge. The Civil War had a dreadful effect. You know, the Civil War, you know, even yet affects the Irish psychic. So it was difficult, but the reality is there was no strategy about Irish unity. The North was forgotten about, except at election times when the drum was beaten and the flag was flown. So when we came to deal with these issues, it became obvious that even though the cutting edge of change had to be in the north, that the change would affect the entire island. And some elements, some conservative elements were resisting that. And similarly with the Catholic hierarchy, and I won't single the Catholic hierarchy out especially, but it gave the Caesar the things that were Caesar's and went along. I make the point there were no Martin Luther Kings on the civil rights marches. There were no Bishop Tutus on the marches. And I chronicle in this book, I think, in some detail, our efforts to get the church hierarchy involved. And, you know, religion, like everything else, can be an instrument of empowerment, which is what I think it is. Or it can be one of control, which I think in Ireland for a long time is what it has been.
You don't belabor it, but you do raise the issue of class. And for all the church hierarchy did not help some of the fathers, the people in the community had a tremendous effect. But I say that from the perspective of class. And are we going to talk about that?
We are going to talk about class when we come back. And Bill Russell will lead that part of the conversation with Jerry Adams. Please be with us when we return in just a moment for the Paula Gordon Show.